The Drives podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security, disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group at 865-566-0800 or visit dag-us.com.
5 at 5. 5 o'clock quitting time on your Wednesday. Brandon Orrick in with the top 5 at 5.
LSU Athletic Director Joe Oliva expected to step down pretty soon.
Joe Oliva, a-leaving.
Some...
That was, no?
I'd hit the sad trombone. Some reports saying that he may be kind of maybe being pushed out.
You think? I don't think it's coincidence that we find out he's leaving, what, 3 days after we find out Will Wade's coming back? I don't think those two are just, you know, purely coincidental.
Number two, Tennessee baseball gets the win over Morehead State 3-1 last night. Adds another win to the win column there. Big series against SEC rival Kentucky starting tomorrow. Big series for Tennessee if they want to make the conference tournament. And, I mean, right now...
sitting in a pretty good spot, right?
Definitely to make the conference tournament and maybe possibly an outside chance for an NCAA tournament appearance.
Well, good luck to Vitello and the Vols. They're looking good right now, but we got a long way to go.
Number three, as Bear mentioned earlier, the Alliance of American Football has filed for bankruptcy. In the filings, the league claims assets of $11.3 million and liabilities of $48.3 million. And according to the documents, the league has roughly $536,000 in cash.
That ain't going to cut it.
No, not hard. Number four, playoff action tonight, NBA and NHL. In the association, we've got the Pacers taking on the Boston Celtics, the 8-seed Detroit Pistons traveling to Milwaukee to take on the Bucks, and then in the Western Conference, you've got the 5-seed Utah Jazz going up against the Houston Rockets. And in the NHL, the Bruins take on the Leafs tonight, the Calgary Flames take on the Colorado Avalanche, and your Nashville Predators take on the Dallas Stars, looking to take a commanding 3-1 lead.
Yeah, about
in that,
that game four that lost the first game and come back to win the two games. So we're predding again. Love playoff hockey. I like the NBA playoffs, man. I tried to get into that a little bit. I watched the Raptors last night smack down the Magic after the Magic had the big upset in game one of that series. Kawhi Leonard, man. Whoo.
He can play.
Such a force. And the I mean, what do you guys think about the Warriors without DeMarcus Cousins now? As he's got to be done, right? I know they said it's indefinitely, but to Barkley talk, you know, torn quad, like that's months and months of rehab according to
that's major surgery. They've got to go in there and
so
pull
he's,
that bad
is
boy
he going to be like
it.
They won last year without him, obviously. You think they do it again or
I mean, I definitely think they make it out of this round of the playoffs, but
it'll be hard.
I mean, more than likely going to be playing the Rockets in the next round, and the Rockets were up.
They're playing well, right?
3-2 in that series last season. And then if Chris Paul hadn't got hurt, Rockets probably win that series.
Yep, going to be interesting.
Number 5, Jaime Lannister is
the
coming
Kingslayer
to Knoxville.
What?
Game of Thrones star? I'm not sure exactly how
it's
you
like
say
Nikolai?
Nikolog.
Something like
Nikolog?
That.
Nikolaj?
Well, make up your mind.
If you can't decide. I've seen it all last night.
It's N-I-K-O-L-A-J.
Well, I don't think it's Nikolaj.
Let's go just call him Nick.
Nick Walder.
Nick Coster Waldo.
I mean, nobody cares what his real name is.
Will appear at Knoxville's Bubba Fest. The convention,
Bubba Fest.
The convention will take place Friday, August 23rd through the 25th at the Knoxville Convention Center.
He showed up and just talked to him like he's Jamie Lannister, not an actor.
Hello,
Kingslayer.
just stare at him like Bran. He'll be there signing autographs and taking photos with fans.
You think he'll let me look at his gold hand?
You want to tell him, Brandon?
His hand's not actually cut off in real life.
Spoiler alert!
Kind of a bummer. Go ahead, Brandon.
Yeah, spoiler alert, Ryan, if you hadn't already got to that point. Okay. Didn't want to ruin it for Ryan. But that is your top five at five.
All right, there you go. Brandon Orrick making his presence felt this afternoon on The Drive with the top five at five. And all right, Bear.
Have you looked at any of these today?
Not today, no.
Okay, because I'm going to the front page.
All right, we're going to let Bear. Is it against me versus Brandon?
Yes.
And what? So I got, is my buzzer?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. All right, so Bear is going to play. He wants to be Alex Trebek.
This
is
haven't
seen him this happy in years. He's very excited.
What is this?
It's my theme music.
Bear's theme.
You do realize we are going to pull this segment and play that. Keep going.
Welcome into Jeopardy. Today we have Russell, 38-year-old father of two from Knoxville, Tennessee.
Hey.
We've got Brandon, 20-something, recent college graduate from Granger County, Tennessee.
You don't even know how old I am. Wow.
You're
23.
24. Close.
Are you going to give us
you want some choices? Okay.
Yeah. Category choices, Bear.
Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Ooh.
Sounds kind of biblical, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I think
the
champions.
Just
across state lines. Cat idioms. And Carol K played bass on that.
I'm fine with any of them, Brandon. You choose.
Across state lines.
Okay. I feel like that's kind of cheap since you and your papa spent a couple of years driving all over the United States.
Oh, yeah, he's a big geography guy. Okay.
Across state lines. All right. Here we go.
Can Bear handle this, or are we about to erupt in another epic
argument? Are you going to keep score on this? This is for 200. This is for 200.
All right.
Okay.
You get this, Ryan? Are you going to read the thing now? Okay.
Heading north on I-5, California, Oregon, this.
All right.
Bing.
That'll go to Brandon.
What is Washington?
Correct.
Too slow. My buzzer didn't work. It was jammed.
You've got control of the board, Brandon. Where do you want to go?
I'll take across state lines for 400, Bear.
Okay. Across state lines for 400. Going due west, Ohio, Indiana, this. That's Russ on that one.
Ohio, Indiana. What is Iowa?
Russ is at minus 400. Brandon.
What is Illinois?
Correct. Brandon retains control of the board.
My mental map.
You're a mental midget.
I'll take across state lines for 6.
Going south on US 281. Nebraska, Kansas, this.
Ding.
Russ.
What is Oklahoma?
Correct. Russ is at 200.
On the board.
Brandon's at what, 600? All right, give me just a second. Russell, you want to stay with states? You want to change the category?
Let's keep rolling here.
Across state lines.
I think I'm getting the hang of this.
Heading north, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, this.
All right.
Brandon?
What is New Hampshire?
Correct.
What?
All right, and to finish this out,
Wait, is that right? I feel like New York is ahead, is above Connecticut. See, this is why you can't be host of the game.
It was Massachusetts, not Connecticut. Is Rhode Island, Massachusetts?
I don't know. Nobody knows what
I feel like
New
I'm doing
England
a fantastic
like.
Job here. Okay, and to close this out, you want to stay with the Cross State Lines, Brandon?
Yeah, let's just stick with it.
All right. For 1,000, boom, boom, boom. It's a daily double, Brandon.
Oh, man.
Oh.
How much do you want to wager?
I'll wager.
This game is rigged.
I'll wager.
Daily double.
I'll wager 1,000.
Daily doubles
All
on
right.
This.
For 1,000, heading east on I-94. Montana, North Dakota.
Oh, my God.
This.
It's so easy.
What is Minnesota?
Kidding me.
Correct. Brandon with a commanding lead. Do you want to get back to their regular show? And
no,
come
no,
back
no.
To
I
got to
come back now, man.
I mean, he's
Brandon is like, he's got a map of the United States over there in front of him.
I feel like, will you listen to me? Will you listen to some advice?
This is an outrage. I don't know, I'll listen to advice from you.
You might want to go to
Dullard.
Carol K played bass on that. That's in your wheelhouse, bro.
Well, it's not my choice. It's Brandon's choice.
What are the other categories, Bear?
Let's see.
What was the first
Damn,
one?
It's rigged.
Pop culture common bonds.
Bear and Brandon.
We aren't the
weeks.
Champions.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Cat idioms.
Don't do cat idioms, Brandon. I swear to God.
Which would you rather do, Russ? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, or we
Just
aren't the
choose.
Champions?
Don't patronize me. It's enough that you're kicking my ass. You're like half my age. Make me look like an idiot on my own show.
I'll tell you what,
let's,
say,
let's take
Just
Matthew,
pick.
Mark, Luke, and John.
Oh, hey.
That's Sunday school Brandon over here. All
right. Right now I have $2,400, Russ. How about
great.
Yourself?
He's got $400, I think.
$400.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, because I
Category, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John 11:17 notes he had lain in the grave 4 days already, but with Jesus' help, he made a comeback.
Ding.
Russ.
Who is Lazarus?
Yep.
Boom. Put that in your pipe and smoke. I probably shouldn't be talking trash on the Bible one, right? That's probably bad karma.
All right, Russ.
Shut up.
You want to change the category? You want to keep going with Matthew?
Yeah, Bartlett? Let's change the category. That's the extent of my biblical knowledge. The one you said, the base one.
Carol K. Carol K. Played bass on that. That's legendary session musician Carol K playing bass on Good Vibrations and a bunch of other hits by this band.
Bang.
Brandon.
Who are the Beach Boys?
Correct.
What was that for? 200?
200. All right. You want to keep going with Carol K, Brandon?
Sure.
Carol K played bass on that. The score for this 1987 Richie Valens biopic, she had played guitar on the 1959 song of the same title.
Ding!
Russ.
What is La Bamba?
Correct. All right. For 600. The themes to MASH, Hawaii Five-O, and this spy show that debuted in 1966 and self-destructed in 1973.
Ding!
Russ.
What is Mission Impossible?
Correct.
Making a comeback here. Don't call it a comeback. How many am I down by, Ryan? $1,200. $1,200?
How much has he got?
Good grief.
$1,400. Okay.
It's an outrage.
Russ.
Yeah.
For
Hopeless.
$800. And it's the Daily Double.
All right.
Many a monkey. Oh,
wait,
how
wait,
much
wait.
Do you want? How
what,
much do you want to wager?
Make it a true daily double. How much I got?
1,400.
All in. 1,400. All in. Here we go. Let's go, baby. Let's go.
Many a monkey's hit, including "Last Train to Here."
What is Clarksville?
You are correct, my friend.
Yes, yes, yes.
What's the score now, Ryan?
2,800 to 2,600.
Up by 200.
That one was too easy.
Keep rolling.
That was
Keep
too
it
easy.
Rolling. Who's your daddy now, Brandon? Who's your daddy now?
All right. We ready? For 1,000, Carol K played bass on that. 2006 Fast Man Raider Man by this former frontman of the Pixies.
Ding.
Russ.
Who is Black Francis?
What?
Who is Frank Black?
But his name is Black Francis in the Pixies. Come on, man.
It says.
Yeah, but he goes by Black Francis.
In the Pixies. That's.
I feel like that. What they would have given me that. Whatever. This game is fixed. Brandon doesn't even know who the Pixies are. You probably don't either.
I don't know who the Pixies are. Waving mutilation.
I really thought you were going to get that one. If you know who the Pixies are, you should give me Black Francis. He goes by Black Francis, does he not?
Yeah, we'll go to sudden death.
Does
then.
He not?
Winner of this
answer
one.
Answer my question.
Winner.
You want to be in the game show? This is the kind of controversy a host has to deal with. See, it's not that easy. You've got one of the contestants making a mockery of the entire game, is it? It really sucks, doesn't it? Because I'm just going to ruin the whole thing. I'm going to ruin the whole segment.
Will you shut up?
No, I'm not going to shut up.
We've heard from the judges, and they have ruled that Black Francis is acceptable.
Thank you.
You get credit for the answer.
You're weak.
So what does that score bring us to?
You are weak.
Yes.
3,800 to 2,600.
You are weak.
$3,800?
You made an initial decision that it was not sufficient. Then Russell goes on for 5 minutes.
Brandon pleading his case, and then you cave. He made his decision. Stop. You're making a mockery of the game.
You're weak, Bear.
All right. Final
Weak
Jeopardy.
Leadership.
Final Jeopardy will be Some Kind of Wonderful. Some Kind of Wonderful.
Some Kind of Wonderful. Oh, and we have to bet?
Yeah.
How much do I have?
$3,800.
How much does he have?
$2,600.
Oh, this is going to be close, huh? So I have to go ahead and lock in my bet. I'm trying to do my awful math here. Have you got yours, Brandon?
Yes.
Okay. This is where you read the thing.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Here's the question. Lorenzo de Medici was dubbed Lorenzo the This Word emblazoning his great deeds.
I don't understand what those words mean.
Lorenzo de Medici was dubbed Lorenzo the This Word emblazoning his great deeds.
All right, you gonna play the music?
Do we have to write it down?
Dun, 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 dun. There you go.
What's the name of the category?
Some Kind of Wonderful.
Just end it. I don't know. I got it
wrong.
How much did
you wager?
$2,300.
What's your answer?
Great.
My wager was $25.99. And I also said, great.
You were both wrong. It was Lorenzo the Magnificent.
See, I didn't think it was score. Great because great was in the clue. But I couldn't think of anything else. So it doesn't matter. I mean, we both.
The final score is Russell with 1,300 and Brandon with one.
With $1. He went all in.
Well, Russell...
Well, this has been a nice waste of airtime. I appreciate it. I'm glad I won. So, I mean, it would have been hard to live down.
You going
to
ask for a rematch on Russell? I feel like I did a fantastic.
I thought you did pretty good, Bear.
Fantastic. Much better than Russell. You see, I ignored him when he went off.
The only thing, my only complaint, Bear, is you need to be stern with your decision making.
All right, make that the Rickard Ridge Barbecue smoking hot question. Who is a better Jeopardy host? Russell or Bear?
I feel like you're a little sycophant.
No, we'll put it on the at Fox Sports Knox thing. And I feel like people might use this as an excuse to rip me and give it to you. So you're not confident. I'm not confident. I'll abide by whatever the people say. How about that?
I feel like this could be a game changer for me. I could start hosting the game shows that we have during the summer.
I feel like you did really well, Bear. Really proud of you.
Like I
cover
said,
yourself in glory.
My only.
I don't know what it is, but you're up to something, mister.
No, it's called I won. If I lost, you better be sure I'd be throwing a major fit right now. I mean,
you need
I
to be stern in your decision
making.
Stay
with us. The Drive continues. Back with more after this.
The Drive.
Back here on The Drive, Fox Sports Knoxville. It is Fan Run Radio. I have an important announcement to make. Let's head to the Fox Sports Knoxville Breaking News Desk. I, Russell Smith, hereby announce my retirement as a contestant from Jeopardy with a perfect 1-0 record, undefeated, baby, for all time.
You're going to be off a board
undefeated this
summer, buddy, because
never lost.
I'm the new host.
Never lost.
Boo. Boo.
I feel like I'm the new host.
Rickard Ridge Barbecue, smoking hot question. Is it up, Brandon?
Oh, you wanted me to put it up?
Yeah.
That's why he said, put it up, Brandon. Well, what are you doing over there?
I'm answering phone calls.
It's a hard time for him. I just smoked him at Jeopardy.
Well, for one, I was smoking you until you went
Until Russ made a gigantic comeback. I told him to pick. You knew you were in trouble when that category, Carol Kay, played bass on that.
I mean, I
knew most of the answers.
But you weren't sure. You weren't certain like Russell was.
Well, if you would have been stern in your decision, I would have won. You initially said.
I heard from the judges in the back.
Like a good leader.
It happens all the time on Jeopardy, for real. Does it not?
Yeah.
The judges will buzz in and say that he can accept that answer.
Yeah. It's true.
Frank Black was known as Black Francis in the Pixies.
It's true.
So how did you want me to word the question, who should be. Who should host Jeopardy?
Yeah. Who should host Jeopardy, Russell or Bear? Those are the two options, Russell or Bear. Shad says Bear did a fantastic job as host.
Thank you,
Shad. You are getting praise. Unanimous praise from the audience. I think you should win.
I mean, the Bearites are out there.
The Bearites?
Yeah.
I feel like we need to workshop that one. I mean,
yeah, we'll workshop it.
The Bear people, the Bearians,
The
Rastabarians.
Ooh.
865-546.
Lord Mormont.
8200. Your number to get on the Drive, 546-8200, if you want to chime in today. For the first time, Notre Dame will have a female leprechaun cheering on the sideline for the Fighting Irish this season.
There's no such thing as female leprechauns. There's not. I feel like this is Muffet McGraw's doing, Russ.
Lynette Wookie, a sophomore from Elyria, Ohio, was one of three students selected Tuesday to wear the green suit and Irish country hat as Notre Dame's mascot. She's the first woman selected since the leprechaun became the school's official mascot in 1965. Brandon, what do you make of Bear claiming that, quote, there are no such thing as female leprechauns?
That's just absurd.
Is that a sexist comment?
Kind of. I mean, I feel like there have to be female leprechauns, or else how else?
That's a good point.
Do leprechauns
good point.
Continue to exist?
That's a good point.
They're magical creatures.
There's leprechaun sex happening somewhere, Bear. Hot little green. Leprechaun sex. It's going on somewhere.
Bear speech.
Behind a rainbow somewhere.
I'm thinking. I think they're probably pixies, kind of like, what's her name, Tinkerbell off Peter Pan. I think, like, the pixies have, they're like the moms of the leprechauns.
So you think, like, the dude from the Lucky Charms box is getting with Tinkerbell?
Yeah.
That's how you picture that going down?
Yeah, something like that.
And that's where the leprechauns come from?
Yeah.
T-Carp is next. Hello, T-Carp. You're on the Drive.
I feel like Tinkerbell's getting it from a much higher dude than a leprechaun. Like, Tinkerbell's a lot hotter than a leprechaun. Don't you guys think so?
I can't believe we're going down this path. This is bizarre.
I don't know.
The Drive.
I've never seen a female leprechaun. I don't know what this looks like. She's a trailblazer. the first female leprechaun of Notre Dame coming to sidelines near you. So I don't know if she's hotter than Tinkerbell or not. I haven't seen her.
We'll see.
I'm going to assume she's very attractive.
What would you think of as a female Davy Crockett? Like, is that going to happen next?
A female frontiers person.
No. It's Davy Crockett. Like, is our mascot not Davy Crockett?
Well, hold on. Wait a minute. I hate to burst Bear's bubble here in the same vein, but Davy Crockett is not a fictional character.
He's not, but we have to be inclusive. We have to be accepting of all genders.
Well, you know,
in representation of our university.
You know how they have the female Smokey outfit that like comes out with Smokey sometimes? There's like little kid Smokey and female Smokey. Sometimes he's got a bow on.
Right.
You could have that. You could have like Davy Crockett's wife. She could be a frontiers woman, you know, like a big dress with like the apron on and the bonnet. You have a nice bonnet.
I really
bonnet.
Think this is going down a sexist. What, like, why can't she have like what Davy Crockett has on? And then how do we know Davy Crockett? Like, why are we doing a heterosexual Davy Crockett? Why can't we have two Davy Crocketts or Davy and Danny Crockett?
Well, we're never going to be woke, T-Carp. Until we have a black, Muslim, female, Jewish, transsexual Davy Crockett on the sideline. You know it and I know it. So until you're
That's
ready to
saying.
Break that barrier down.
We'll always be second best to Notre Dame in the woke category. That's all I'm saying.
I guess so.
Anywho, I haven't got to talk to you about the orange and white game. What did you think about Garantano, honestly?
You want to know, here's my honest take, what I honestly think about Jarrett Garantano in the orange and white game?
Yes.
I didn't. I have no thoughts at all. Like, I just.
Well, come on.
I did it. I watched the game, and I can't take away anything. Is our offensive line, does the offensive line still suck? Does our defense still suck? Like, what? Like, does Jarrett still, like, is he still struggling at some level? I don't know. Yeah, maybe the answers to all these questions are yes. And if they are, how can you make any sort of determination about Garantano if he's still playing behind a crappy offensive line?
I guess, he couldn't take a sack yesterday is what I'm saying. He couldn't get absolutely demolished. And he still overthrowed, three or four guys. He's still making slow decisions. My concern is, are we just going to have to, drudge through another year where it's ho-hum, we might get to 6-6 until we get him out of here. And your next question is going to be, well, T-Carp, who are you going to pick? Who's going to be your quarterback? And I say, well, I go with your quarterback of this, your future over there that's sitting on the bench. And I just think both of them make better, or not necessarily better, but quicker decisions, and then you can teach them to make better, quicker decisions. I didn't see anything from Garantano that showed me that he had gotten any better. Not one single thing. And that's what concerns me. I'm not trying to put everything on him. I'm putting out his whole body of work, and then I'm trying to say, okay, out of his whole body of work, has, you know, this spring game, can he show me a flash in the pan of something? And I just didn't see it. Am I wrong?
Look, man, I just remember 1998 spring game. We all came out of there thinking, man, we are in trouble. T. Martin can't play. We don't have weapons. This offense is going to be terrible. Offense was great. I remember 2 years ago, Dormady came out there, looked like $1 million in the spring game. Oh, man, we're fine with Quinn Dormady.
You're approaching middle age. I'm in the middle of it. How many quarterbacks have we seen over the years that have looked great in spring games?
I don't take anything from it, man.
I was trying to remember, what was the 98 spring? Spring of 98 before that season.
What? The spring game in 98, the one I was just talking about 1 minute ago, Bear?
Well, yeah, I was doing some research.
I just don't take anything from the spring game at all.
Okay.
Hey, listen, man, I'm not expecting huge things from Garantano. I'm not. I'm not going to sit here and tell you, oh, yeah, he's going to be an all-SEC player or anything. Like, I think he's serviceable. I think, for Tennessee's success next year, T-Carp, honestly, I feel like It's all about the offensive line, man. If we can't protect anybody, it doesn't matter who we have back there. So
that's true.
We got to get better up front.
Do you at least take from the spring game that we can't run the football right now with what we've got?
Yeah,
it's pretty bad.
I mean, it's a major problem, man. And
lay that at the feet of Will Friend, or you lay that at the feet of Butch Jones still? Or I mean, who can we blame for this?
Well, it's always safe to blame Butch, I would say. But at some level, yeah, I mean, Friend has to take ownership. I mean, it's year two now. And yeah. I guess we're going to be starting at least one, if not two, true freshmen on the offensive line, which is never good. I guess that's not really Friend's fault. By the way, it sounds like T-Carp's at the Masters, man. Just birds tweeting in the background. It sounds lovely. Sounds lovely wherever you're at, T-Carp.
I stopped mowing the yard so I could call you guys.
Ah, okay. Very good. I just think it's about the offensive line. Like, is that what it's going to come down to? Can we protect?
Yeah, pretty
much. Can we get push?
Yeah. Can we get push? And can we pick up the blitz?
From what I saw from the spring game, which we're not taking anything from it, a freshman number 27 completely owned the offensive line and whatever gap that he rushed. So, guys, I'll see you.
Thanks, T-Carp. I guess if one takeaway was, they would have had a billion sacks in that game if the quarterbacks aren't wearing no-contact jerseys.
Yeah.
Like, there's no pass protection anymore.
I mean, the other thing, the one thing I will say is we were blitzing a lot. Like, Pruitt was back there telling people where to go. Apparently, this might surprise you, a little bit of breaking news. Billy Lucci is reporting that Scott Woodward has signed on to become LSU's next athletics director.
Really?
Baton Rouge native is heading home.
Oh, so he's a Baton Rouge native.
Yeah. Well.
So this must have been happening behind the scenes, right? They didn't just – there's more to the story. They're not just shoving Oliva out of there just because he mishandled Will Wade. They've been talking to this dude behind the scenes.
Yeah. I mean, Joe Oliva has not exactly covered himself in glory since he's been down there. He's horrible.
But they also realized, hey, this guy is doing a bang-up job at Texas A&M. We're dissatisfied with our guy. Like, I'm sure they didn't just fire Oliva today or
just start looking around.
Yeah.
No, they had this been going on for probably weeks, I would say.
Huh.
What's wild is he just made that big hire of Buzz Williams. Is he going to turn around and
have to hire
a new basketball coach as soon as he gets to LSU?
Probably. By the way, I like how when Dave Hart announces his impending retirement, like it takes a year to hire dumbass John Curry.
Yeah.
But LSU, for all the difficulties they're going through, like they get a quality replacement within
an afternoon.
And don't give me this, well, he's from Baton Rouge. We had Philip Fulmer begging for the job
for six
right
months
there, and we still didn't give him the job. We had to let John Curry burn the department down before we could actually do what we should have done in the first place.
I mean, wasn't it Alabama there? They had an opening when
Bill Battle retired.
When Bill Battle retired, and like 15 minutes later, they put out a press release.
I just hope that Coach Fulmer, I hope that he's here for a long time.
Right.
Because that'll have meant he's successful. And I hope that we have some sort of succession plan so that we don't go off into the wilderness again. And that we can do this, where whoever his next guy in charge is, that we just hand it off. That we don't have to go through some sort of goofy search where we let the eggheads to pick.
Right.
Like, let Fulmer fix this and then handpick his successor that he trusts. And, like, I think that's the only way you can ensure some sort of orderly transition. Quick timeout, The Drive, Fox Sports Knoxville, Fan Run Radio, back with more of your phone calls coming up.
The Drives podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group today at 865-566-0800. Applying for disability can be very tedious. Having an experienced attorney on your side makes it easy. Call Disability Advantage Group, 865-566-0800, or visit online at dag-us.com.
Sports Knoxville. Hewitt Pruitt has this figured out, the leprechaun thing. Mm-hmm. How do we stay woke? How do we compete? Daisy Crockett or Dolly Crockett?
That's got possibilities.
Which one do you like better, Daisy or Dolly?
Dolly.
Probably Daisy.
What is Dolly Crockett's costume in your imagination, Brandon?
Basically, big barn wig and a guitar.
Basically, it's Dolly Parton in a Davy Crockett costume.
Yeah. Like 1970s Dolly?
Could it be like a cut-off skirt
kind
of thing?
Yeah.
Or is that like,
I'm talking like
is
70s
that sexist
Dolly?
Too? She has to wear pants and like carry a gun and be all tough.
She can carry a gun, but she doesn't have to be tough.
Is she wearing the coonskin cap?
Yes.
Yeah. With the wig? That's gonna. That
yeah,
feels
no,
like
no. She's just wearing the big wig, like Dolly did. Our queen. Where do you stand on Dolly Parton? Fan for against?
How can you be against Dolly?
She's a national treasure.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a huge fan. Like, really, Jolene is like the only song I know of hers.
Oh,
but
wow.
I celebrate
the entire catalog.
Give him some other ones.
I love Dolly. 9 to 5.
I know that one.
I Will Always Love You.
Okay, so I know a lot of it. So I know actually know a couple of Dolly Parton songs. It just didn't come to
Code of Many Colors.
I don't know that one.
It's one of her first hits.
No, I know the Bible story, as was evidenced by me
it's
beating you out.
God-fearing woman.
The biblical category.
Oh, there. My God.
How does that strike you, Brandon?
Brandon needs to brush up on his
Leviticus. Apparently, you didn't feel too confident about it because you changed the category pretty quickly.
Carol K.
Your Sunday school teacher might be listening back
on this. I don't know if you've noticed this about Russ. Somewhat of a music aficionado. Yeah, I'm breaking out the big words because I'm a host now. Stick that in your pipe and smoke it, big boy. All right, let's get these busy. I keep forgetting that you're here.
Yeah. If you're a host, you got to realize we got stuff to do here.
865-546-8200. Let's go to Josh next. You're on with the drive.
No, Nick, you are on with the drive.
All right. Know your role. Back in your lane there, Bear. Back in your
lane. Watch your step, mister.
Hey, you guys are both doing a great job, all right? So, first off, the thing with Davy Crockett, everybody should get a history lesson or look up why Davy Crockett is important. He stands for inclusion and non-discrimination in regards to the Indians and the Indian Removal Act. So everybody should just go look up that before they want to get rid of him or change anything with him.
Yeah,
Davy Crockett was woke.
Awesome
So
first off, he's awesome. Don't touch him. Secondly, my real question is about Pruitt and his expectations of the spring game. So I have a problem with him wanting us to fill the stadium. You know, listen, Pruitt, you got to do something to make us fill a stadium. You know, you go have a great season, get us excited, and then you know what? Ball family will fill that stadium. But we're not going to do it just because you ask. And then my second question is, you know, hey, Pruitt, if you really want it full, first off, why don't you give us some incentive? You know, millions of things you could offer Vol fans to come out to Neyland Stadium. It doesn't take much. And then my last point, guys, and I'll listen to your responses, and I appreciate the time, is if it's an orange and white spring game, why are we not setting up plays to make ourselves look better? Why do we shoot ourselves in the foot? Because, you know, again, you guys are right. It doesn't matter. Nothing that we see here matters. So why do we give all the Vol haters all this ammunition to just hate on our players all spring when we could be like, hey, listen, cornerback, you're going to break your coverage, and Garantano, you're going to take it off the top of the defense, and you're going to look amazing. But, hey, guys, I don't want to take up all day. Thank you so much for the time, and I'll listen to your response.
Excellent.
So we should
from Nick
choreograph the spring game like professional wrestling to make our team look better.
Yeah, I just don't see that being something Pruitt is interested in.
It's not really feasible in what you're trying.
You could handcuff your defense. A lot of schools do that. Like they say,
but they said he was over there behind the offense, telling them where to go.
Well, they were saying that. Did you see Fulmer? That was probably the most interesting part of the spring game was the Fulmer interview.
I didn't see that.
Guessing Bear didn't watch that. So he was in the booth for what, like the whole third quarter. And
it was a pretty good long.
He said,
pretty good while.
He said, you know, most spring games you're pretty vanilla. He said, we're out here blitzing and throwing all kinds of different stuff at him. So, like, I think Pruitt looks at it as, hey, it's one of 15 practices you get in spring. We're not going to waste it on, you know, showing something or proving a point. Like, we're going to go out there and practice. We might not be showing our whole hand of what we do, but we're going to use it to get better. You know,
I mean, it's a live scrimmage. He wants to practice.
It's good film
study. Our
quarterback's
picking up blitzes.
See who's improved and what we need to work on, all that kind of stuff. So I think that's kind of what he. How about Nick saying, hey Pruitt, you want us to show up, show us something.
I kind of feel him on that one. It's kind of where I'm at with it. What we end up have showing up over there? 51,000.
It was right at 50. It's a little over 50. Was the announced attendance?
That is amazing. That's like almost 12,000 more than went to the spring race at Bristol. What's that tell you?
Love our football, man.
NASCAR's dying.
Yeah, well, that too. Swanee says, are these JG haters serious? I'm a big T-Cart fan, but come on, brother. He spells brother with an A. You know that's
like
serious.
Dusty Rhodes.
When you say brother, it's brother. Brother. Brother.
Like Dusty Rhodes, the American dream.
He says, do the haters think Mega Million Dollar coaching staff wouldn't put youngins in at QB if they thought it would improve the chances of winning? These guys are paid professionals, man. I mean, that's kind of how I feel about it. Like, you know, Pruitt wants to win. And I think he said that in one of his interviews in the spring where they were asking him about maybe his media policy. Like, why don't you know, you should let your assistants talk or let the players talk more. Or you should talk more, be more accessible, do radio interviews and stuff like that. And his response was basically like, listen, man. And I think there's a lot of truth in this. He said, it doesn't matter. You got to win. I'd be the most accessible guy, likable guy ever. If I go 5-7 again this year, fans aren't going to like me. And he's absolutely right about that. If he goes out there, if he wins 9 games, if he doesn't speak again until after the Georgia State game, if we don't hear from Jeremy Pruitt again until after the first game,
the hell are we going to talk about all summer?
But if he goes 10-2, we're going to love him.
Yeah.
And nobody cares what his media policy is.
Just like Al Davis said, just win,
so,
baby.
I mean, that's fine. Like, that's his prerogative. He's paid big bucks to fix this thing. And if he wins, we'll all love him for it. And guess what, man?
He's going to get ran.
Yeah. If he fails, you think we treated Butch Jones poorly. You think we treated Derek Dooley poorly.
What an idiot.
If this guy fails, Jeremy Pruitt, a dyed-in-the-wool bammer, who clearly doesn't like speaking to the media, and I don't know that he really likes talking to the fans that much either. I mean, just calling it like I
but
see
in
it.
In his defense, I really don't think he likes talking to anybody.
I might not like talking to anybody.
He probably likes
about
watching football game
isn't
film.
Football.
Yeah.
Might not even like talking about football. Just a surly football coach. Like, if this guy fails, oh, man. Oh, Bear, how bad will we treat a Bammer if he fails here?
Well, we'll roast him. Roast him completely. I have heard he's a really nice guy behind the scenes. He's not as crusty.
That was a nice coach.
I really have.
While we're ripping the guy for a second. Let's just go ahead and throw out that. I've heard that too. He's really nice. Really nice guy.
No, I mean, I really have. He's like really personable.
I've heard that too. Coach, we love you. I'm sure you're going to do great things here, but just realize, if you don't, we are going to run you out of town on a rail. It's nothing personal, though. It's just business.
We like you.
This is what we do here. It's what we do here.
He's got to know, man. He's dyed in the wool in the SEC as well. He knows what he's – if anybody will know it, I mean, it's this guy.
We will tear your kingdom down, Coach. Yeah. We love you, though. I was telling you.
We're going to give you a fat check on the way out the door, but we will destroy you on the radio.
It'll make your life miserable.
Monday through Friday.
Yeah, you're going to hate us. Like, it's
– you're not going to think we're funny anymore. You're not going to think we're funny.
Stay with us. The shocking conclusion of The Drive coming up.
The Drive.
Fans, this is The Drive. Eric says, I won't be as hard on him as Butch. He actually knows football and inherited a mess. Oh, Eric.
I love a good
That's
shot
so
at
cute.
Butch.
Who'd be hard on him, man? Like, we say that now. You say that now. We're still kind of in the honeymoon period for Skull Can.
Cornbread.
If he keeps losing, man, like, if it doesn't get any better, people, like, we have such short memories, man. People forget how much they were eating out of the hands of Butch Jones. He had everybody on board for really the first like 3 or 4 years. I mean, even like year three, they went, you know, 8-4 and it kind of fell apart. Okay, whatever. Year four, when it fell apart, you lose to Vanderbilt at Vanderbilt. A lot of people jumped off the bandwagon. And then, of course, year five went haywire from the get go. But the first two or three years, like Butch Jones, like, he had the fan base behind him. I mean, the stadium was sold out for and rocking for big games. I mean, he was never one of our own, but we all wanted him to do well. Like, everyone was pulling for him.
Yeah, but
it felt
he'd
weird.
Already started saying some cringeworthy stuff.
Yeah, he said silly things. It felt weird watching us run the spread offense and stuff like that. It was strange, but he had the fans behind him. Jeremy Pruitt has the fans behind him. He's not going to have the fans behind him if he goes 5-7 again. Just telling you.
No, it'll start getting a little.
I don't want to say that, like, if he goes 5-7, I don't know that Fulmer pulls the plug. I doubt he will. But there'll be all kinds of pressure on him going into year three.
Oh, for sure.
Well, that was quick. Thank you, Ryan. Appreciate your time. Brandon, excellent job by you today. Bear, not bad. Not bad. You impressed me with the hosting thing. Of course, I'm only saying that because I won.
Yeah, but you also you believe.
If I'd lost, I would have blamed
you.
You
believe your own spin on your.
Wait, do we have the results?
Oh, what's the poll?
With 153 votes, so there's still a long way to go, but it looks like Russell's going to win 61% Russell, 39% Bear.
Sorry, Bear. Overtime up next.
That's not good, Russ.
Another day, another dollar, another stellar edition of The Drive in the books. We'll do it again tomorrow right here on Fan Run Radio.